Good morning, good yor. My friends, I'd like to talk about the mitzvah of Sukkos from the perspective of, as Kriyam always says in source number one, "Batitein lanu Hashem Elokeinu." Hashem has given us mo'adim, festivals, l'simcha, for joy. Chagim uzvanim l'sason, and these are festivals to rejoice. The difference between simcha and sason is not going to be up for our discussion today. And the Shulchan Aruch teaches us this. Chayav Adam liyot sameach b'tov lev b'moed. Person is obligated to be happy, good of spirit in the moed. Hu uvisho b'na b'chol nevim alav, he and his entire family. And there's a halacha about this. Men, you feed them meat and wine. Women, you buy them nice clothes. I don't know if any stores are open these days, but you know, in theory. And children, for whatever makes them happy. Now, if this is true of every moed, of every festival, it is particularly true on the Yontif of Sukkah. By Sukkos, we have, Chazal tell us in source 2, Shemisha Lora Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Lora Simcha Miyama. One who's never saw the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the festival, the drawing of the water, has never seen a Simcha in their life. This is it. And it's interesting, by Sukkos, you have the most times where you have the Chumash telling us, be happy. V'samachtem lifnei Hashem Elokechem shivas yomim. Chag HaSukkot taseh lecha shivas yomim v'samachta b'chagecha. Vayita ach sameach. More than any of the other festivals, there's an inyan of simcha on Sukkos. And the question begs itself, what is the Simcha of Sukkos? Why is Sukkos, more than the other festivals, there's this big focus on Simcha? In fact, in source number 3, you have a very interesting grah. This is like a great question to throw out at your Sukkos table. The grah was asked, Yelamdenu Rabbeinu, Mahi HaMitzvah Kasha B'Yoter B'Torah. The grah was asked, what's the most difficult mitzvah in the Torah? So some wanted to suggest Shabbat. Oh my gosh, you know, Shabbat with all the things that all the minutiae of halacha. And others wanted to suggest, you know, v'haftarecha kamocha, how sensitive people are, and you have to be careful, you have to be. There are different suggestions that were given. And the Gra answered no. Tuvatosha Gra'on ha-pliotam ha-mitzvah ka-shabiyoter l'kiyum hi-v'samachta b'chagecha v'ayita av-sameh. The most difficult mitzvah in the Torah is for 7 days to be happy, 200 hours to be happy, not to stop being happy for a minute. That includes all the different mood swings that we have. The lulav becomes pasul, the food becomes cold. This year, we definitely have a challenge of the samachta b'chagecha. You can't take any yontif trip, any chol hamoed trip. Yeah, there's a seger all around. I'm supposed to be happy? Like, hello. You know, happiness is going on trips, isn't it? Like, we have to ask ourselves, what is happiness? That's going to be part of the question for today. But 7 days of complete happiness. And he says something very fascinating at the end of this source. He says, you know, how much energy a person invests to have the most perfect lulav. And they'll spend so much money and they'll spend so much time and energy finding the right arba minim. He says that's the amount of energy and time we need to spend to be able to invest in simcha, to be able to invest in joy. And he says, like, take a common scenario, a plate breaks, something breaks. Everyone gets excited, the plate broke. He says, how much is this plate worth? Okay, I understand it came from your great-great-great-grandmother 400,000 years ago. Still, how much is this plate worth? Is it worth losing the mitzvah of simcha? If I spend so much money to buy a nice lulav and etrog because the mitzvah is important to me, then the mitzvah of simcha should be equally important to me, and I should uphold it at all costs. So really, my friends, this is like a little bit intense here. That should be also in the bio, intensity. I'm adding to the bio, Zmira. The intensity, Gilu Bur Ada, with a sense of humor. And that is 7 days of complete joy, 7 days of complete happiness. How do we access this? What is Simcha about? And more particularly for us today, what is the Simcha of Sukkot about? And we'll add, as our underlying question, how do we access this in a time when we are surrounded by fear, when we're surrounded by this pandemic, which has really overtaken our lives on every single level? Why do we have Sukkot? So let's take a look at the Simcha of Sukkot on a very basic level, understanding why we sit in the Sukkah, and then I'd like to take it a little bit deeper. So we know there's a machloket in the Medrash, and this is source number 4. The Chumash tells us the following: the Sukkot teshvu shivas yamim. In Sukkot you should sit 7 days. Kol hazrach b'Yisrael yeshvu b'Sukkot. All the Ezrach, all the members of the citizens should sit in Sukkot for 7 days. And the Chumash tells us, very fascinating, L'man yedu darasech, that your future generation should know. The word yediyah is used, knowledge. Ki b'sukkot hoshavti b'nei Yisrael b'otzi otam me'aretz Yitzrayim, ani Hashem lokechem. Because I took you out of Sukkot when you left Egypt. Now, I'll just add here, the Svarim say, this is halacha l'maisa, because it says l'man yedu darasechem, that you should know that while all mitzvos have an inyan of kavana, where you have to have intention when you do the mitzvah, Sukkot is particularly so, that if you sit in the sukkah and eat the bread without focusing on why you're sitting there, it's a big question whether you've fulfilled your obligation. And that is why halacha l'maisa, it's important before one says habosi, clap on the table and remind everybody when you eat that kazayin of bread. Okay, you can think about how wonderful and tasty the bread is and make sure to thank the hostess for, you know, making such a bread or for buying such good quality challah, as the case may be. At the same time, you should be thinking about why we're sitting in the sukkah, and that is either Rabbi Eliezer's opinion on Nekavot, Hayu, that we're reminding ourselves of the clouds of glory that surrounded the Jewish people in their 40-year sojourn, and Rabbi Akiva Omer Sukkot Mamish Asulahem. Rabbi Akiva saying that it's to remind us of physical sukkahs that we sat in. These are the two things that we need to keep in mind. It reminds us of the Aranei Kavod, the clouds of glory, and reminds us of the Sukkot Mamish, the physical structures that we were in. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, according to both opinions, we have to look at each one separately, how does that connect with Sukkot, with Simcha? That in fact, I'm sitting in a physical hut because Klai Yisrael sat in a physical hut, that should engender me Simcha. The second one is a little bit easier. The fact that there is the Anan HaKavod, that Hashem, you know, was around me and surrounded me and took care of me, I can understand that, but the Sukkot Mamish is a little bit more challenging. So what is the Sukkot about? So Zmira began me off, so I can now skip the sources on sources 6 and 7. So thank you, Zmira. That the Sukkot reminds us at the time of harvest, that when we sit in our Sukkot, there may be this feeling of plenty, this feeling of abundance. And a person may come to a level of kochi v'otzim yadi, look how great I am, look how strong I am. Let's see this in English in source number 8. Our sages define the essence of the holiday, Jacob's Ladder of Yaakov Hillel. Leave your permanent dwelling and sit in temporary dwelling. The Torah explains that Sukkot is a time of harvest, when people reap the fruits of their labor. With the granary is full of wheat and other crops, a person feels strong, powerful, wealthy. And this is the risk of Vayishman Yishurun Vayivat. Yishurun became fat and kicked. Even an upright person runs a risk of becoming filled with pride at the thought of his own successes. The granaries are full because he is a smart businessman. He knows how to wheel and deal. He knows when to raise prices, when to lower them. Leave your permanent dwelling. It's not yours to begin with. Your home and everything you have is a gift from Hashem. There are people smarter than you, people stronger than you, who are not doing as well as you. It's all a gift of Hashem. Hashem raises from the dumps. He lowers people. We have to know that everything we achieve is from Hashem. How do we come to this realization? We leave the security of our homes and enter into the sukkah. I hear that, and that's a very profound understanding of what sukkah is about. And my friends, we don't need a greater reminder of sukkah. I think we have been living sukkah for the last 7 or 8 months, that we are totally in God's hands where is no sense of security, financial or otherwise. Anyone who ever dreamed that their life was, you know, nice, hunky-dory. I don't know if anyone ever dreamed that way, but will you see? I imagine someone thought that way. That has been completely undone. And that's what this idea of sukkah is like, gullus, that you are in exile, that you don't feel the comfort and security, and you have to rely completely on Hashem. And the whole idea of sukkah, as we'll talk about, is a schach, is a covering on top. We are completely in God's hands. There is no feeling of stability. And again, we have been living sukkahs this whole time. Ah, that doesn't seem to me to be a sign of simcha. The fact that I am so out there, and so I'm going to use the word vulnerable, that should leave me with a sign of fear and trepidation. And yet you're telling me, v'samachta, v'chagecha, v'yitach sameach, I have an obligation to be happy. How do we reconcile this aspect? So here we come to really perhaps, and again, there's so many approaches to all these questions. In no way are we covering the whole topic today. We're just whetting our appetite. And that's a Pamema way to Rav Rice in source number 10. And he says, what is the sukkah about? How do we achieve simcha? So the Ramban tells us that the sukkah is to teach us how during these 40 years, Hashem provided us for everything we needed, right? The physical structure is a reminder that Hashem was taking care of us. Our physical domain was taken care of. Hashem built for us where we sat in the sukkahs, which is also a reflection of the water and the man and the slav and everything he gave us. Which by Ermi Mitoch Divrei Ramban, second paragraph in 10, Shemitzvat Sukkah Noadala Ir Bala Iratenei Hadama Chastei Hashem. What the Ramban is basically telling us is that this mitzvah is to awaken us on the kindness of Hashem, Hasovavim Oto Vopofim Oto Tadir, that surround us at all times at every step of the way. Really, in the next paragraph of Chol Sod HaBriya Novem Midat HaChesed, really the entire creation, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, the whole world is built on chesed, because this is the Kadosh Baruch Hu who wanted to build the world of giving, right? Rabbi Kaplan speaks about the word God comes from the word good. The fact that we use that name of God, God, it's to remind us of the goodness of Hashem. Mekevan shekeim, if this is true, we now understand what Sukkot is about. All year round, I'm surrounded by God's goodness. For all the kindnesses Hashem does. You know what the problem is? I take it for granted. Breathing, I take for granted. Smelling, I take for granted. Tasting, I take all this for granted, right? I take my life for granted. You know what Sukkah comes to remind us? Sukkah comes to remind us that everything is a chesed Hashem. That everything that Hashem does at every moment is a chesed. And that's the imagery of a sukkah. A sukkah, it's four walls that surround us. When we sit in the sukkah, we shouldn't only be focused on the four walls around us. We should be focused in that Hashem is surrounding us. Very famous idea of the Ariya Kadam, Arizal, who says that the minimum requirement for a sukkah should be three walls and a bit. And that, he says, is like a hug. That we should imagine that we're sitting in the sukkah, that Hashem is hugging us, that Hashem is surrounding us, and that what a sukkah is about is total love. Total love. That Hashem is providing for me, that Hashem is giving to me, and that everything I have is from Hashem. Rabosai, if we would integrate, internalize this idea into our lives, it's life transforming. Simcha is not holiness. You see, part of our problem is that when I think of simcha, I think of great adventures. You know, I remember in LA, we might have some LA people here, there used to be on Wilshire Billboard, when I lived there 20 or something years ago, a big sign. Go to Disneyland, whatever, Disney World, whatever's in LA, California, never been there. The happiest place on earth. Rabosai, that is the goyish opinion of simcha, that amusement park is the happiest place on earth. The Maharal defines simcha as shlemus, as wholeness. You know what real simcha is about? It's about feeling content and whole within ourselves. Real simcha is about connection. In this level, when I sit in the sukkah, I close my eyes and I realize that everything that I have is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to have, is what I need at this time. And that is not necessarily what I think I need. I think I need my family. I think I need Chol Hamoed trips. I think I need it. The list goes on. Hashem is taking care of me with exactly what I need at this time. And knowing that Hashem is caring for me, this is the key, is the greatest simcha imaginable. And this, my friends, leads us, I just want to take this one step deeper, this leads us in source 14 to realizing that the outer simcha of all the granaries, of all the food, of all of that, is limited. Simcha artzik shura be'achrech v'tnaim chumriim minimali. Ulam ha-simcha sheba'anu donim shoneh mimelech halutim. Zoi simchat ha-nefesh ha-meshukreret mitmut b'chomer. The type of joy we're speaking about now is not dependent on the physical aspect. So one thing, you know, why am I happy at Sukkot? Well, I brought in all this food, and I have all this food, so wow, of course I'm happy. No. What's really making me happy is knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of me. What's really making me happy is that it's not about the physical things. I leave my home. I leave all of that physical possessions in the house. The sukkah enables us to enter into the world of true joy. All the joy and the money and the outer aspect are limited. Person has 100, they want 200. They're never satisfied. But to really be happy is to live in a level in the asterisks in 14. To appreciate what I do have, to stop the run of life and running after more and more, and to be able to appreciate what I have is exactly what I need. And one who is able to appreciate what they have then reaches a level of Sama Nafshi Lelokim. Then I have a yearning toward Hashem because I know He's taking care of me and He's giving me all that I need to be able to serve Him. Let's put this into English, my friend. We're living in a very challenging time. And all of us feel like, you know, I think it was a wake-up call these last few months and makes us realize that, you know, what we thought was really important is not as important. And basic things as health, as ability just to live and be able to appreciate what we do have is our focus. And many of us who have been homebound the last number of months realize, you know, I've spent so much time out of my house, I don't even appreciate the things in my house. And you're able to spend that time, and we've been able to spend that time saying, wow, you know that table? It's really a beautiful table. And let me reminisce when I got that table. What about that table? And I'm able to focus inward and not only outward. That's what the sukkah is about. The sukkah is the simcha of inner simcha of connection to Hashem. And that's what we need to focus in on. We need to focus in on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's taking care of us. I missed the end of the question. So if you want to help me out there, I got the punch.
What source are we up to?
Oh, why is it not a mitzvah for women? Rabosai, you want the real answer to that question? Women have it. Good. I love all these questions. Okay, thank you. I love these questions. I'm going to talk about it. Good. So the first question.
So Shira, what source are we up to?
I just finished source 14.
Source what?
14.
14?
14, yeah. Okay. I'm flying today. So women are naturally people who appreciate the spiritual and the inner world. Hence we say the bracha shasani kirtzono, that we are connected to the higher world. We are the last that Hashem created. Okay, I like the second question also. How do we celebrate without our children and our grandchildren? And I need you to hold off on that question to the end. I might answer it, I may not. However, I'm going to preface that I may answer, may not. It's very hard because for us, Simcha is family, 100%. What our challenge this year is, and I'm underscoring a challenge, I'm underscoring it's a challenge, is that it's going to be about creating Simcha for ourselves. And what that is about, I'm going to have to get to. So I need you to hold with me so I can just continue on the program, and then I'll get lost later. Okay, so here we go. So my friends, when we sit in the sukkah, what is our mindset? It's a hug. There are a lot of challenges in this world. The fact that I can't celebrate with my family the way I normally do is a big, big challenge. Having said that, I have to realize and focus and appreciate on the blessings that I do have, and not to sit and complain about the blessings I don't have. You can spend the entire sukkah mumbling, oh, my kids aren't here, oh, my grandkids aren't here. You can mumble the whole sukkah, and you have accomplished nothing but mumbling. Or we can focus in on the gifts that I do have this year and be able to focus in on the blessings that we do have. This is not a permanent situation, my friends. Mirtz Hashem, we'll have many, many opportunities to be with our children. Let's focus on what we do have, not what we don't have. Remember what we began with, my friends? Simcha is the hardest mitzvah, says the Gra. This year, it's even harder. So I'm holding off on the chat questions, and I am focusing back on the program because...
Could I make a comment?
Sure.
Okay. So somebody asked about why isn't it a mitzvah for women? And I just want to share a psak that I got from a Rav David Morgenstern. I said, if we're all sitting at the table, the men and the women, and somebody needs to go in to get the ketchup, is it... does it mean that the woman has to go in to get it? And he said, no, it's once you're sitting there and somebody has to go in, it doesn't matter who goes in. It's not preferential once you're actually there, both all of you together. So there shows me a certain chashivas for us spending as much time as we can in the sukkah, even though it's not our particular mitzvah.
I love it, Reva. Thank you for sharing. Would you like to take over, Reva?
No, thank you.
That's what I'm trying. But thank you. That was very important. Thank you. Okay. Now, let's try to refocus here. And now that I walked into a minefield, I really work with me, my friend. I'm going to ask you the following. I'm going to ask you to emotionally leave that angst of how can I be happy without my kid? And I want you to just leave it outside the door till the end of the shiur. Work with me. And then we're gonna bring it in at the end. So can we do that? Just like take that part of you, just leave it outside. Tell her we'll get back to it. And now, let's work. Okay, good. 16. There is a second opinion of why we sit in the sukkah. We have to understand the simcha on that level, and that is the Ananeh couple. So let's do source 16. Beishlavar davar pidibrei hagra. Let's look at this based on the gra. Perfect. In Shir HaShirim. On the Pasuk, Keviani HaMelech HaDaravna Gilu Nisvach HaBach, Hashem brought me into his room, let's rejoice. The Pasuk is about the Ananei HaKavot, V'Nisvach HaBach, that we are rejoicing over the Ananei HaKavot, which is the rejoicing of Sukkot, is that we are surrounded by Hashem. So then the obvious question becomes, then why am I celebrating Sukkot in Tishrei? Should I not celebrate Sukkot in Nisan, when that's when we got the Ananei HaKavod? Wouldn't it make sense that I celebrate it at the start of the clouds of glory? Like, why in the middle of Tishrei am I now suddenly celebrating the clouds of glory? So the Gra says something very, very, very important. Aval nira lefi shekashesu ta'ekel nistaku hananim. When they made the golden calf, these clouds of glory left, and they only came back when they started building the Mishkan. So yesterday was Yom Kippur, we got forgiveness. Today, Moshe Rabbeinu came down and gathered the people together and commanded us to build the Mishkan. Then for a few days, Baboker, Baboker, we brought the Nedavos, we brought gifts, the gold, the silver, etc. And then on the 15th day of Nisan, they began building the Mishkan, and the Ananei HaKavod came back. So therefore, my friends, when we're celebrating the Ananei HaKavod, we're not just celebrating a reminder of the Ananei HaKavod that surrounded us. We're celebrating something much deeper than that. We're celebrating the fact that Hashem forgave us completely for the sin of the golden calf, albeit he verbally, kivyachol, gave us forgiveness on Yom Kippur, but I know full forgiveness was given to us when the clouds of glory returned, which again, they left when we made the golden calf. So what I'm celebrating on Sukkot, because it was the 15th day of Tishrei that the clouds of glory came back, what I'm celebrating on Sukkot of Zman Simchasenu, just like in Yalav Yavo, in Davening, we say Zman Cheritenu, it's a time of redemption, that is when we left Egypt. Zman Matan Tartenu, we got the Torah. Zman Simchatenu is also historic reality. What's the historic reality? That the Ananei HaKavod, the clouds of glory, return, and in that way we knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us completely. And hence, we can appreciate with this the fact that we have so many mitzvahs by Sukkot, more than any other holiday. Why? Because it's showing that Hashem has once again granted us favor and wants us to do mitzvahs and wants to connect with Him, which explains parenthetically why, if it rains the first night of Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael, not in Buffalo, wherever you came from, but in Eretz Yisrael, it's a bad sign. And Rav Asher brings down this, that Gemara that says it's like you pour your master a cup of wine and he throws it back in your face. Why do I have that imagery in only the mitzvah sukkah and not in any other mitzvah? You know, I want to eat matzah and I can't, or whatever it is, I'm stopped. Because the whole idea of Sukkot is about forgiveness. And if it's going to rain the first night of Sukkot, it's a bad sign, because what it's really showing me is I'm not sure Hashem really has forgiven me this year. The whole essence of Sukkot is about this aspect of forgiveness. And hence, in Source 18, moving down, Ulefizeh Shapir Karina L'chaga Sukkot Zman Simchatenu. Now I can appreciate why it's called Zman Simchatenu. The joy that the Jewish people, the Jewish people had when the Ananei HaKavod came back, that's the joy we have every year, that we now have been completely forgiven on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay, my friends, I want to take this idea a little bit deeper, and I want to share an idea that I just read. I just learned mamish before Yom Kippur. It is not on our sheet because I just learned this idea, Erev Yom Kippur. I'm not sure I really understand this idea. I'm going to do the best I can to explain it to you, and it's going to give us the depth of what we're talking about here. So for the next minute and a half or so, hold on tight, and then we'll be back to the program. Rav Moshe Shapiro talks about that Ne'ilah, right, which we just went through a few hours ago, is the same word as na'al, a shoe. In fact, not wearing shoes on Yom Kippur is called the Isser of Ne'ilata Sandal, of not wearing shoes. Now, isn't it interesting that same word ne'ilah is used, not to wear shoes, and ne'ilah, which is to lock in the gate. Well, what does ne'ilah have to do with shoes? So work with me here, my friends. I'm sharing a very deep idea. I'm trying to bring it down, and here it goes. On Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur, we know Ne'ilah is the fifth tefillah, which corresponds to the highest level of our soul, Yechidah. Really, our soul is way above up, and only a very small part of our soul really enters into our body. That bottom part of the soul needs, so to speak, a shoe to allow it to traverse through this world. Our body becomes the shoe, the nail for our soul. Okay, the lowest part of our soul enters into our body. It needs a shoe. The soul feels very uncomfortable in our body. Like, what is it doing here? you know, the Medrash talks about, it's a very famous Medrash. I love this Medrash. It's a Gohelet Rabbah. The Medrash talks about a princess once married a villager. How that happened, we don't ask about Shidduchim. And one day the villager says to the princess, "Princess dear, I love you so much. I want to make you the greatest delicacy in our town. Dinner's on me tonight. I want you to leave. I'm going to make it." Okay, great. She comes in and she smells something a little bit, I don't know, but just say anything because after all, her husband making it. And he says, "I want you to close your eyes and I'll tell you when to open it." Okay, she closes her eyes, waiting for the greatest delicacy. He puts it in front of her and the smell's even worse now. Yeah, yeah, she doesn't say anything. And he says, "Okay, open your eyes." And he opens her eyes and she says, "Potato soup? Yes, the greatest delicacy of our town. Potato soup? Yes, aren't you pleased?" And she's like, "Oh, potato soup. That's like for commoners." That's how our neshama feels. It's a princess. It's a bat melech. It comes from under the kisei hakavod. And we give it great adventures. We give it, you know, physical things. And we say, "Potato soup. Isn't that great?" And the neshama says, "No, I want spiritual things. That was what really brings me joy. That's what brings me happiness." So my friends, on the eve of Yom Kippur, when I haven't eaten for 24 hours, we don't need to be reminded, and I am more spiritual than physical, then, right, malachim don't have feet. They don't have shoes, right? I don't wear shoes. I'm like a malach. Then my soul can feel comfortable in my body. The ne'ila is not just about closing in the gate. It's about closing in the shoe, allowing my soul to feel comfortable in my body. Here's the punchline. Once my soul is comfortable in my body, then I can take that renewed relationship, and every year it's a spiral, and I can now give my soul body this shoe relationship. I can give it physical things in a spiritual context. And hence, Sukkot is very much about eating, drinking, sleeping in the sukkah, because now the partnership is a much more developed partnership. Is it any wonder, my friends, that what do we call the three festivals? The Shalosh Regalim, because it's about the regel. It's about being able to have the shoe, the feet, be comfortable in this. That, my friends, is the simcha of Sukkot. It's a spiritual simcha of being connected to Hashem, it with the Ushpizin. So if you think you have no guests, you're so wrong. The Ushpizin come to us, and the Belzer Rebbe brings down that with every Ushpizin comes his wife. Whoever asked about women, the women come as well. So you have Avravino Sarimenu, set up a lot of chairs. You have a lot of companies like this. This is the company of the very, very holy people that have come to join us in our sukkah. And people light candles for them. They have special chairs for them. This is because I have now been able to enter into, after Yom Kippur, after the Tzlicha Mechila, a much higher relationship with Hashem. It's this aspect of total connection to Hashem. Now, let's take this idea on next page one step deeper. And that's the following. Yisod ma'utasha of mitzvah tatzukah, the whole idea of sukkah, he nitishtat habayit hakavua v'mavar l'dirat harai shel sukkah. The whole idea of sukkahs is to leave our houses and enter into the sukkah. Anashim kitzrei dad alulim lashlot atzvam k'ilu goralam masur b'yadehem. And this is what the sukkah reminds us of, bringing back to our first idea and tying it all together. We believe that we are in charge of our lives. And as he says it, the end of 23, l'yeter bitachon, just to be sure, I'll bring God into the picture. Really, what Simcha is about, Kiasimcha Mitsuya 24 says the Chavos Lebavot, Simcha is only found b'kakol shelaboteach b'Hashem. So now we're bringing the two levels together. What is the simcha about? What is the simcha about? The simcha is about being able to take the joy, to take that feeling of complete dependency on Hashem, to take this feeling that Hashem has forgiven me, that I've entered into a different domain of closeness to Hashem, that I, my physical and my spiritual, are on a whole different level. I've been cleansed. I now have a relationship with Hashem which is much deeper than it was a few days before. And I sit in the sukkah with an understanding that I have nobody else to rely on but a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The real simcha is complete dependency on Hashem. Let's take a look at Robertson Feldbrand in English on source 26. Trust in Hashem does not mean that we believe that our wishes will be immediately fulfilled. The primary point of belief is that Hashem directs the world and has absolute control over everything. Bitachon, trust in Almighty, is the only key to a truly stress-free existence, to real peace of mind. One who trusts in Hashem is always happy. The man of faith recognizes the Almighty is one. Whole creation is an expression of his will. Hashem animates all of creation, every muscle, neural impulse, etc. Many people believe they've relaxed their vigilance, their world will spin out of control. Contentment is accepting Hashem's control over the workings of the universe and our own human limitations. Everything we have, our health, our positions, our status, our friends, our environment, are all carefully calibrated by Hashem in our best interest. The only way to have a truly happy heart is to cast your burden on Hashem and He will sustain you. Rabosai, we look at happiness and we look at bitachon as that we are running the show. And it's all about what I want. Simcha this year is going to take on a different dimension, my friends, and it's going to take work on our part. It's about being able to have the humility, and it takes humility, to say the world isn't necessarily the way I want it to be. The world is the way Hashem wants it to be. And then when I sit in the sukkah with able to let go, and I feel that being held by Hashem, this is the way He's orchestrating the world perfect for me. And again, it's not the way I would have written the script. I would write the script in many different ways, many different times, my friends. This is the script that He is writing. That's the real simcha that Hashem has. And of course, you're right. Hashem gave me this burden, but Hashem gave me this burden because it's the best for me. We have to understand that everything I go through in life, every single second, is what develops me to be the best person I can be. This is what bitachon is about. This is what simcha is about. This is what shlemus is about. Being able to see that wherever I am right now is the complete picture. It's like, just to take this one step further, and I want to go back inside. If any of you have ever been, before Corona days, if you used to travel, ever been in a traffic jam and you're late and you have somewhere to go and you're just not getting there? So you honk your horn and you're frustrated. Well, where's that honking horn going to go? Where's that frustration going to go? It's going to land you 1 inch forward? No. If you're able to sit back and say, this is where Hashem wants me to be right now, this exact car in this exact situation, then you're able to step back and say, I'm in your hands, Hashem. And when you're able to have that feeling, I'm exactly where I need to be. And that's what sukkah reminds me of. The sukkah is 7 days of sitting in Hashem's hands. That's what sukkah is about. And that's why we need to take sukkah with us the entire year. It's hard to sit in a sukkah for 7 days. It's even harder to be happy for 7 days. It's hard to let go and to think that Hashem is running my life when I want to be with my kids and my grandkids, v'chulei v'chulei. Let go. Realize that Hashem is running the show for reasons beyond us. when I'm able to let go, going right above the 30. Rak habotech b'Hashem, only one who relies in Hashem, hu ha-mesugal lismoach, he can be in a level of joy. V'liyot sharui b'shalva p'nimi, this is the key, and have inner peace, knowing that Hashem is the one who's running every single aspect. Lefi 30 cheshbo medudak, very specific. V'hugam harotzeh tamid b'tovato, and this is equally important, and he wants the best for us. Hadaga va'etzev hei mimenu v'hala. Worry. All these problems are beyond me. I know I exactly where I need to be. When David Amel describes it, kigmul alei imo, kigmul alei nafshi, like a little infant in its mother's arm. Gam kelef begeit samavet lo irara, even in the valley of death, I won't fear. Ki ata imadi, because you are with me at all times. That, my friends, is, and it's all about this relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Now, my friends, we can appreciate, listen closely, it's a Gevaldic idea in 32. We all know the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that talks about the nation said to Hashem, you know, it's not fair you gave them mitzvot. If you would give me a mitzvah, we would do it too. Hashem said, okay, I'll give you a mitzvah kala, an easy mitzvah, sukkah. So what do? They build sukkahs, and then Hashem puts down the heat, and they just kick the sukkah, and they leave. Sezra Pinchav Koritz, my friends, and this is a great board to share at your, kind of give you nuggets also to share. And that is, she's Birsha Sukkah Birosh Hagad. The way the Gemara describes them building a sukkah is, where do they build the sukkah? On top of their roofs. Why does the Gemara add that seemingly irrelevant fact? Because on top of the roof is a remez legaiva. It's an aspect of haughtiness. The Umos HaOlam refuse to have hachna to Hashem. We have to be in charge. Is it any wonder that the final war is the war of Gog u'Magog? And the Sfarim say, Gog is for the word God. Magog, also from that word. The war of Gog u'Magog is really the war, we first talked about this at length, of the mindset of the sukkah. That's what we read about the war of Gog u'Magog on the Torah of Sukkot. It's the war of sukkah versus God. Our sukkah, as we mentioned, the sukkah can be made of anything you want, the walls. What is the halachic application of sukkah is the roof has to be from the psola goren v'yakev. It has to be from, you know, things growing from the ground. It has to be from something that doesn't give you stability. That's the sukkah. Sukkah comes from the word tzchach, that which is covering you. That's the difference between us and the nation. The nations have it on their God. Gog u'Magog. We are in charge. We are invincible. The Jews have a sukkah, which says, as many walls as we build around us, we ultimately know that the covering, that which protects us, is completely in Hashem's hands. We are completely underneath his domination, his dominion. Which then leads me, my friends, to the final two ideas. When I understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading my life, when I understand that it's all about him and it's not about my plans and it's not about, you know, where I want to be and how I want to get there and, you know, my agenda, it's a good word, and it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then I'm able to not only look upward, I'm able to look inward. Source 33, next page. Ulakastem lachem priyetz hadar kapot tvarim usamachtem lifnei Hashem lukechem. You take the lulav, the esrog, and there again, v'samachtem, and you rejoice in front of Hashem. And we all know that the arba minim romzim l'chomine sukot and nefashos b'Yisrael, that we all know this, right? The lulav, the esrog, different types of people, taste and smell them, taste. So tzaddikim, rishoyim, everyone has the ability to find themselves in the sukkah, in the Lulvan Esrog. You know what this really means, my friends? Let's take a look. Bayat kolabayo. The real problem is, you know what the Lulvan Esrog teach me, really? That a person really doesn't know themselves. Even if they have a lot of things, a family and health and all the goodness, you know what? You're still not always happy. Why? Even if you're not missing anything, you still have this dissatisfaction. Why? Because haikar chaser min ha-sefer, the ultimate is missing from us. And what's the ultimate? And the asterisk in 33, ha-simcha tuluya b'sheila gdola, ha-im hadam moseh u'matzeh tatzmo. Do you know who you are? That's the big question. This is what Sukkot is really about. Shikamur mechuvanim k'neg kol sugei nefashot v'Yisrael mitzayim l'chol echad limtzo mekomo yehudi. What Sukkot is really about, what the Arba Minim are about, the Simcha of Sukkot is about, that a person should find themselves. Listen to the Sfas Emes on 34. You look around you and you realize that, you know what, there are different strokes for different folks. And you know what Hashem is teaching you? It's not just all esrog. I know they're beautiful and they smell nice, but we're not all esrogim. We all have different facets to us. And we join together because the point of Sukkot is take for you yourself. Ki kol hasimcha keshadam pa l'sharasho ulimikomo. You want to know what real simcha is? When a person knows their place. When a person knows what they're supposed to do in life. Not when you're imitating others. Not when you wish you were like others. But when a person is able to realize that this is who I am. And I've gotten rid of all of the blockages of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Elul. All I've been able to introspect, this isn't me, this is me. This is who I am, this is not who I am. I'm able to focus in on the core of who I am. I'm able to sit in the sukkah without a chatzitza, completely connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, my friends, is the imagery of what sukkah is about. And you know, there is a story that I've heard of Moshe Weinberger from Eish Kodesh tell a number of times. He tells a story of the Bubba Varebi right after the war, that he survived the war and his son Naftali. And he didn't really want to start a Hasidus. He was totally broken after the war. And the Satmar Rebbe told him, you know what? You have to build again. So he started on the Upper West Side. He didn't barely even have a minyan. And they used to go out on Friday night to see if they could find a Jew to finish, you know, to complete the minyan. And one Friday night, they only had 9 people, and he sent his son up, tell the out, go find a Jew. So he sees a person sitting on the bench, you know, almost can picture River Side Drive, and he says to him in Yiddish, you know, are you a Jew? Yes. Can you make the minyan? He says, only if I'm able to be the chazan. I used to be a chazan before the war. He says, okay. It's the chazan that night, the chazan the next day, and for many Shabbats afterwards, he was a chazan Friday night and the chazan during the day. And the chassidim in this minyan, which again wasn't that many, were very upset. They said, I'm sure this guy isn't religious. How are you letting him be the chazan? And the Bava Rebbe just said, let him be the chazan. And then one week he didn't show up. So he sent his son out with another fellow to find him. And he sees him smoking on Shabbos on a bench. And they were like, you see? Came back to his father and they said, you see, we saw him smoking on a bench. He's not Shomer Shabbos. And the Bava Rebbe said, that wasn't him smoking. That was the Nazi smoking. He wasn't smoking. Tell him to come back. And they went back and he was already gone and he disappeared. Fast forward 30 years, Bava Rebbe now is in Borough Park and has zillions of Hasidim came here. And 30 years later, a person coming with a whole vush, the whole get up of a Hasid, comes to Bava Rebbe and says to him, do you remember me after Tish? And he looks at me and he says, no. He says, I was your chazan Friday night on the Upper West Side. I want to invite you to my child's wedding. The Bava Rebbe understood. It wasn't him. It was the Nazi in him. Rabosai Elul Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur has taken out all those parts of us that aren't us. All those parts of us that aren't really those that define us. And now we can have sukkahs. Kigmul Alei Imo. And that's what the sukkah is about. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz speaks about in the next page. He says in 41, he says, imagine a mother who's carrying a little child in her, those things they carry, the baby carriers, and the mother is traveling the world. And she goes, this is before Corona, yeah. She goes to China, she goes to all these different places. And you ask the mother, well, what were your highlights? And she says, the Great Wall and this and that. And you ask the child, the little baby, what were your highlights? And the baby says, I was in my mother's arms. That's all that counts. Do you know what Sukkot is about? It's not about thinking about, I have to do this, I have to do that. It's about just the feeling of being able to stay within self and closeness to Hashem. It's about recalibrating ourselves to the core of who we are. Hence, in 41, says the Sfasemes, Yemei Asukos Nikravs Man Simchatenu. It's a time of joy. Ki Hashem Yitbarach Zoch Dika Otanu Leshevet Silo. Because Hashem enables us to sit in His shadow. V'hi Me'ein Bechinas HaGan Eden. When you sit in the sukkah, you should imagine you're sitting in Gan Eden. Dichti Vayasem HaAdam. V'ikur HaBriya Ita Liot HaAdam Sham. That's where man should be, sitting in Gan Eden, sitting in Hashem's shadow. B'sham Hayav Simcha. We say this by Sheva Brachot. Kesamechacha Yitzircha. Like the joy of the one you formed. B'Gan Eden Mikedem. That's the simcha of Sukkot. V'Hashem Yitbarach Nisanu L'dira Zu Shechala Hashem Shamayim. The names of Hashem are found in the sukkah. The Yudke Bavke Aleph Dal Nun Yud. It's a gematria of Sukkot 91. V'Simcha B'Mono. L'chein Dira Zu M'Viya Simcha. The sukkah itself is the name of Hashem. The names of Hashem. It's a hug of Hashem. It's Hashem Schach from the word Yiskah, to gaze. It's Ruach HaKodesh. It's a mini base hamikdash. All of this enables us to, instead of focus outward, focus inward, to appreciate who I am, to appreciate what my essence is about. And hence we can appreciate it as our final idea that the Gemara says that a person should be able, Gemara Yushalmi, this is the 43, Lekha Kalibu, that you should be able to see the kochavim tocha. You should be able to see the stars, right? You ever look up at your sukkah and try to see the stars, right? Just be able to see the stars inside the sukkah. So the Derech Drush and the Hasidic Pshat explained to Lekach Balibo, we are the star. We have to see the kochavim mitocha from us. We have to see mitocha dam ba'atzmo nirim ha-kochavim ki b'chol ish Yisrael yesh chelek elucha mimal. We all have a godly part in us. And just like a star, you see it so far away, you can barely see it. But if you come close, you see it's like a galaxy on its own right. That's each and every one of us. We have to appreciate the light, the power that we have. So I agree with you, my friends. Sukkot is really a time of simcha. It's a time to spend with family. It's a time of connection. Granted, in the perfect world. In a world that we don't have, we have to understand simcha the way we've been defining it today. Simcha is about being able to be close to Hashem. Sukkah is about being able to have that feeling that I am where I need to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of me. I don't live a Gog approach of Gogu Mago where I'm invincible, I'm in control, I have the things the way I want it. I'm able to have the humility of being able to give it over to Hashem. After Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I've gotten forgiveness. I've gotten that Nazi out of me. I've gotten that part of me that's really not really me. I'm able to see the kochav. I'm able to see the star within me. I'm able to see that there's no greater pleasure than to be in the Gan Eden. And that's how we have to look at Sukkot. Well, it might be a lonely for I'm going to be able to appreciate the blessings Hashem gives me and has given me. I'm going to focus in on the positive aspects, and I'm going to focus in on thank Hashem for them and to really tap into what makes me unique, what makes me special, and build on those to be the type of person Hashem has invested in, to have that now, to have that shoe, part of my soul, to be comfortable in the physical body, to be able to take it for the coming year.